This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Patrick here. Not sure. Do we have wind? 94 is still closed. Westbound 94 up by Monticello. Did you see any of the video footage of that, Patrick?
I didn't see the video. I saw the picture of it. That I actually live up sort of that direction, so that was kind of oh my.
Yeah, that was. It looked like about. I'm not sure how many cars. 30 vehicle pileup, and then one of them caught on fire. And what it sounds like is, you know, now, first of all, let's just all be honest about 94. Half the people that are driving that are doing 100 miles an hour anyway. They're not exactly going slow. And apparently a snow squall came in and cut visibility down. And, well, as what usually happens in these situations, you all of a sudden started having cars hitting cars and piling up. And eventually you got to a point where one of the cars started on fire. And so you had a pretty substantial fire, too. Needless to say, that's a mess, and I'm not sure exactly how long. I mean, it doesn't sound like anyone died, which is good. Sounds like there were definitely some injuries, though, and so I'm not sure exactly. So there are no immediate word of any other injuries outside of the one that the burning semi-trailer truck was. The driver there was okay. So I did find another report. I think it was the CARE 11 report said that there indeed were some injuries with it. So, yeah, I'm not sure how long the criminal investigation into it will take, but needless to say, it's still going on. The snow that caused this, it's basically a line of snow running southwest to northeast. It's the only part of the metro area right now that's still being affected is kind of the very southeastern part, Hastings area. The rest of it is kind of moved on out, and we should be done. As a matter of fact, you can see the sun is coming in from the west, so hopefully it'll melt off a little bit of it. It's already kind of melted off in a lot of places. So good news there. Hopefully the commute not too bad tonight. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I want to start the show today by clarifying a little bit about what Jeff and I were disagreeing about yesterday. Because I want to make sure we do understand that now if you've listened to Jeff Stein, he's been on the air with me for a long time. I've actually been doing radio interviews with him since 1997, and he's in every incantation of the Matt McNeil Show I've ever had, there's always been a Jeff Stein segment every once in a while. And of course, he's been joining us here Wednesdays for a long time. He was joining us even back in the old morning show days, before that in the 6 p.m. hour days. I think fairly quickly after I started here, I actually called Jeff up and said, hey, you want to come on the air? And he more than willing to offer to do that. Jeff truly is one of these guys that is more neutral than he's more neutral than I am. I'm Democrat. I'm a DFLer. Jeff has always been a guy who has been more towards the neutral side. I would make an argument today in this day and age, because I think he gets a lot of his news filtered through this right-wing machine, he has become more conservative, but I still think that he has, for the most part, kind of middle-of-the-road standards. He has, over the years, plenty of the times, he has brought in, he talked about the Republican, that one time I was down in Iowa, we were talking about the Republican governor of Iowa grasping defeat from the jaws of victory. I thought that was one of the better lines I'd ever heard. And he did, by the way. He always, all politics is local. I mean, he's always hammered on that. He also came up with the pre-Trump standard for politics, which was, your primaries are a sprint to the extremes and the general election's a sprint back to the middle. Although the Republican Party today is, no, we want you to stay extreme. So that's where they are. Yesterday, Jeff and I, we disagreed about, more than a few people actually commented about his tone early on in the discussion about the election, which Joe Biden won. This is not really a debate. The Trump campaign got laughed out of court, I think, twice again today for allegations of voter fraud that just don't have any evidence based in reality. But Jeff yesterday, and once again, this goes back to, I think his news is filtered through more conservative sieve. Jeff started off talking about how Alito had ordered the state of Pennsylvania, because they had appealed to the Supreme Court, to separate out ballots that are the absentee ballots that had arrived after Election Day and count them separate, because he basically said, I think there's a legitimate chance we could throw those, anything that comes out after the election, away. What Jeff did, you know, and he was talking about how Pennsylvania made the mistake. This was their mistake. They shouldn't have done this. Well, to my knowledge, they did separate those out. And that's not what put Biden over the top. What put Biden over the top was the insane amount of absentee ballots that were not counted, but because the Republican House and Senate in Pennsylvania had ordered them to not be counted prior to the election. And I went and double checked, and to my knowledge, I could not find any story that said that what put him over the edge was absentee ballots that were received in Pennsylvania after the fact, after the election. So no, he won Pennsylvania fair and square. He won Arizona. They called that last night. And that was the Republican Attorney General saying, hey, we've looked. We can't find any kind of voter fraud. This is legit. Biden won Arizona, which is another big linchpin in Trump, whether or not he you know, concedes or not. He's going to have to concede at some point here, or else they're just going to throw out democracy. It's one of the two. But that was Jeff's opening salvo, was kind of to defend the right of the idea that there might be something there. And he and I went back and forth. At the end of the argument, we kind of got to where the two different approaches came to light. Jeff's idea is this, that in a world that is truly perfect, that after all the contesting is done of the election, when the courts and the recounts and everyone says, nope, legitimate, Joe Biden won, that Trump can stomp around the White House all he likes, that Republicans will make the right call and they themselves will go over to Trump and say, the gig's up, it's over, you need to go. I, on the other hand, have zero doubt that the Republicans will not do that. That even after any lawsuit gets dismissed or any recount shows that Biden did indeed win, that when we get to the point where Trump is ordering state Republicans in like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania to throw out their electoral college voters who have already been set and install pro-Trump and order the electoral college voters in those states to vote for Trump, that they won't say anything. They'll just, okay, what am I supposed to do? He says we should do this. I mean, it's just, you know, he thinks he has a point. Is it my place to really argue with him? Because that's what Republicans have done over and over and over and over again ever since this guy took office. Whatever happened to the fiscal conservative Republicans? Remember the ones who used to complain all the time about that Barack Obama and the deficit? Remember that? And as Trump built the deficit higher and higher and higher, did you hear them ever once say, well, you know, I'm a Republican and all, but my God, he can't be spending like this. Nope. They said nothing. They said nothing. When it became clear that Donald Trump had worked with a foreign country, I need you to do us a favor, though. Did they, wow, you know what? God, you know, if this was a Democrat, I would be going ballistic right now. I'm going to have the same integrity. No, Donald Trump should not be the president of the United States. Nope, they didn't. As a matter of fact, they actually came out and defended him, saying, this is just those namby-pamby Democrats. Or how about when he came on out and he said the World War I veterans were losers and suckers. Losers and suckers. He called veterans losers and suckers. On top of that, I mean, and I pointed out yesterday, he is spending a lot of time trying to get as many veteran votes and active duty military votes thrown out as possible because they feel as if that might help their vote counts. But when he called them losers and suckers, what did the Republicans do? Did they come on out and say, you know, I'm sorry. That's, you've crossed a line. You can't call the military losers and suckers. No, they just, I'm going to look at my shoes for a little bit. I'm going to act like not much going on. I'll just ignore this. They're cowards. They're cowards. They have no integrity. And I'll prove this. Yesterday, I posted on my social media. Not a surprise. I'm a veteran. I posted a comment about veterans, and it said, "Happy Veterans Day." I'll read this to you verbatim. "To all veterans and their families, you're not losers. You're not suckers. Here's to hoping you get the respect you deserve. Thank you for your service." And I signed it. Now, I didn't mention Trump, but I mentioned Trump's comments. And what did I say? You're not losers. You're not suckers. Yeah. I think we all can agree on that. We would hope we could. But not only did, and I've got multiple conservatives who follow me on multiple social media sites, and I posted this on every one of them. Not only did they not, they didn't say, "Hey, Matt, thank you for your service." They didn't. No, of course not. Of course not. I haven't told you, Patrick. I don't know if you've heard this story. Of all the things about my background I get challenged on the most by Republicans, it is my whether or not I was actually in the U.S. Army. I constantly get, "You're lying. You weren't in." I had one guy say, "Well, where did you learn how to do this?" I said, "Well, there's a training manual." "Well, I haven't heard of that training manual." I said, "Wait a minute here. You're saying to me you've read every training manual that they released in the European theater of all, and not only have you read every one of them, you've memorized them, because we had rooms full of those freaking manuals, and I sure as heck didn't read them all." And it always is the same thing when we talk about my military service. They always, "Well, I bet you $100 he's not telling the truth." I said, "I'll tell you what, we'll make it a $500 bet, and I'll take your money. I'll give it to charity." And I said, "I'll go get the military people I served with, who I'm still friends with a lot of them, and I'll get them to verify I was indeed in the military." And of course, 90% of them run away, and you'll never hear from them again. But of the 10% that stick around, they're like, "Well, I wasn't saying you weren't in the military. I was just asking a question. I mean, it sounds like you were a little different than what my unit was like." I have no problem with that. You know what you never hear from them? I have never heard one conservative who challenged my military service one time say, "I'm sorry." Not one. Not a single one. Not of them who come back saying, "I'm sorry, I clearly was out of line. Thank you for your service." Not a one. Because military service for them isn't something to be honored. It's a political ploy. And all of a sudden, when their guy says something on the magnitude of veterans are losers and suckers, they basically, they became the gimp. They're in the corner quietly. "Well, I guess I'll just sit over here and I'll accept the fact that he's making fun of veterans. Don't ask me. I don't know why you're asking me to condemn him. I don't know." So I put this out there. And not only did not any conservative say, "Hey, thanks for your service," not only did not one conservative hit even like on any one of these posts, they purposely ignored them. And you know why? It's because for them to have to like that or comment or say thank you for their service, they would have had to have said, "You know what? Yeah, they're not losers. They're not suckers." And at the end of the day, their loyalty to Trump overrides their love of the military or anything else for that matter. Anything else. So no. I don't think that the Republicans, at the end of the day, will do the right thing. I think they'll do the same thing that they've always done. I don't know. Some of them, I mean, my God, you know, there's plenty of Republicans that want to burn down the Reichstag for Trump. I mean, that's undeniable. You know, they're ready to invade the liberal countries that they hate. But the reality is that most of the Republicans will just sit there and then say, well, you know, is it really my place to say whether or not he's the, you know, Joe Biden was elected president? I don't think it's, I think it's more of a point of, I'm, you know, he's the president. What am I supposed to say? I'll give you proof of this. And I know that guys talked about this last hour. I'll give you undeniable proof of Republicans not caring about what is right and wrong and only doing what they are told to do. When we do return, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you had not heard the guys last hour, they were talking about Governor Walz declared another month worth of emergency powers. Once again, because of that declaration, the House and Senate are called back in because they have to have the right to override that with a, you know, veto his call for emergency powers. That's kind of what they've done. And we have seen this go on now for the last few months. The Republicans, basically, first of all, they started to assassinate, that's Kurt Dowd's term, not mine, assassinate Governor Walz's commissioners by basically, you know, getting rid of them and when they couldn't overturn the veto. And because the House will not vote to overturn the veto, and as well, they basically have gone on out and they've made a lot of comments about how the governor doesn't have the right to do this. That, and I'll get to more of the individual arguments that they made here in just a little bit. But they have tried to overturn his emergency powers order, and they cannot do that. So once again, he declared emergency powers. We clearly have a massive problem here in Minnesota. And at the end of the day, they basically, you know, they were called back in. And so once again, there was some interesting drama that took place today in that they, you know, was, like I said, this is, you know, it is, you know, what it is. And I don't think necessarily, I'm not necessarily one of these people that feels as if this is being outplayed by the Republicans. I think that the Republicans are always being told what to do. I think there are people in dark rooms, smoke-filled dark rooms, who sit there and basically say, okay, we need to make sure this is covered. The Republicans, now that there's a Democratic president, going to be a Democratic president, are concerned. If you don't remember what happened under Governor Dayton when Al Franken rescinded his seat, he resigned. Tina Smith, who was the lieutenant governor at the time, was appointed as the interim senator, which opens up the lieutenant governor's spot. And due to a quirk in the state constitution, that person is whoever the president of the Senate is, which led to some awkward discussions between Michelle Fischbach and Governor Dayton, because Michelle Fischbach, who is now the House rep for Minnesota 7, was basically a Republican serving as lieutenant governor to a Democratic governor. So this has not been changed. The rule still stands. And so there's a concern that Amy Klobuchar could be appointed to the Biden cabinet. And if that is the case, then the lieutenant governor, there's a chance Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan would become the next, you know, senator, you know, temporary senator in the state. And so what the Republicans were concerned about is Jeremy Miller, who was the current president. He comes from Red Wing. If he all of a sudden goes and becomes the lieutenant governor, well, then all of a sudden his district has to have a special election. And Red Wing can go blue. And so out of fear, because there's a one-seat majority for the Republicans in the Senate right now, out of fear that they could end up losing power, they decided to basically put on a dog and pony show and try to basically get Jeremy Miller out of the line of fire as regards to potentially becoming the lieutenant governor, which meant they had to appoint. Now, there's two paths here. And I got to tell you the truth. I'm actually kind of shocked they didn't go with the first path, which would be, all right, just replace Jeremy Miller with the most conservative a Republican senator from the most conservative district in the state, because even if there you does put that person in the lieutenant governor's spot, you're not going to lose that seat, and you'll stay the majority party. And it sets up a Republican for potentially a statewide run in 2022. I mean, it would seem to me that in all the hypothetical situations, that would actually be the safest bet. Get Miller out of there, put a far-right Republican in a far-right district into the position, and then you might even tie the governor's hands a little bit. But they instead decided they were going to go and put a David Tomasoni, the senator from the Iron Range, they were going to make the DFLer the new president of the Senate. That way, if the governor, and once again, this is hypothetical on hypothetical. First, Biden has got to appoint Amy Klobuchar to a position, or to be fair, Governor Tim Walz to a position. I don't think Governor Tim Walz would go. I do not think Governor Tim Walz would go. I think Governor Walz, that, you know, especially for a lesser cabinet position, I think he'd stay here and see out the issues going on in the state. But I can't say for sure. But needless to say, that first of all, Joe Biden would have to either put forward Amy Klobuchar or Governor Walz as a member of the cabinet. Then you would have to have the lieutenant, you know, in the case of Peggy Flanagan, I think, and if the governor took a position within the administration, that she would become the governor, and then, of course, then the, you know, president of the Senate would become the lieutenant governor. Under the case of, Amy Klobuchar going, you then have to have the governor. There's this added hitch that his first choice would be indeed to send Peggy Flanagan, which, I mean, that's nothing against Peggy Flanagan. I mean, she's an outstanding legislator. I think she'd be a fine senator. But you're presuming that would be the natural first choice. You don't know that for sure. And so, you know, there's a hypothetical and a hypothetical here, which is kind of weird. But this is, they are terrified of losing control of the Senate. And so they went along with it. The thing I can't understand is this. Why couldn't the DFL just say to Tomasoni, and I don't know, I mean, Tomasoni seemed pretty chummy with the Republicans. I mean, I think he's one of these guys that ran where the biggest villain in his campaign was not the Republican Party, but the rest of the Democratic Party, which, once again, I think we need to throw these people out. And by the way, as I said last night, I think when we get to these votes to override Governor Walz's emergency powers, if any DFLer votes to go along with this, I think they need to be kicked out of the DFL. End of story, end of discussion. If you are dumb enough to go along with this, then you need to lose your seat. I'm looking at you, Ken Enkin. You need to go. You need to go join the Republican Party, and then they'll primary your butt out of there, and you won't even be in the Senate. But I'm tired of Democrats campaigning harder against other Democrats than they do against Republicans. I don't know what Tomasoni's nature is, but the district up there is a decent chance for the Republicans to pick that seat up. That's why they picked him. I don't know why you couldn't have the DFL say, well, no, I don't want the position. Well, do you want the position? No, I don't want the position. And get it down like Ron Latz. Because Ron Latz, Hopkins, St. Louis Park, he's not going to lose. The Democrats aren't going to lose that seat. So I don't know why you couldn't force a specific Democrat into that position, but apparently they couldn't. I don't know if Tomasoni could turn it down. I don't know if the DFLers, if they said, I don't want it, does that matter? I think the Republicans might be able to vote the person in regardless if they want to. I'm not sure. But like I said, I mean, the more safe bet for them, and actually a bet that gave them a better power struggle, would have been to put in a far-right Republican senator into Jeremy Miller's spot. So, you know, this is, once again, we are called back here. And the first order of business for these Republicans is not the safety and benefit of the people of Minnesota. Oh, God forbid, no. It's basically a political procedural move to try to desperately save their Senate seat and their one seat advantage. And so they put up this dog and pony show. And then they gaveled closed without voting to remove walls, which is the other huge exposure of how much of a hack the Republican Party is. I'll get to that when we come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Oh, by the way, I was reading off of Peter Callahan from MinnPost's Twitter feed a little bit for this. Miller's actually from Winona, but he also has already put out a thing saying he already expects to be back as the president of the Senate next year. Here's the problem. Okay, say you take Klobuchar and you put her as the appointee. Well, she'll still be a senator well into next year until she gets approved by the Senate for whatever position she gets. So you're going to have to do this whole dog and pony show again at the beginning of the year, because as long as she's the sitting senator and she's not going to resign her Senate seat, she's not going to resign her Senate seat until she's confirmed, which probably won't be till March or April. That means whoever, you're going to have to put a Democrat back in that position as it is running forward. So I'm not sure exactly what you think is going to happen there, but you know, it's, you got a new new Senate taking over coming up in January, which means you got to do this all over again. I don't know. So I think there are people that are playing chess here that I think they're actually playing checkers. And sure, I guess their feeling is, well, it's not a big deal if we have to undo it and because Klobuchar doesn't get picked. But still, at the same time, it's just, this was your first priority. We are in the middle of a major pandemic, and your first priority is making sure that not the health and safety of Minnesotans. It's basically making sure that you get your political guy taken care of. Okay. Which, by the way, we should go back to. Let's go back to what the Republicans have been saying. Back in January, when we started seeing this story, I said, we were talking on the air here, and I said, you know, we can already see where this cab is going. We already knew this was going to be a problem. We already knew this was going to be bad. Republicans, just because of politics, started bad-mouthing scientific experts who were telling us, wear masks, socially distance, shut down the state government, let's try to keep this under control. That is not, and they are against masks. Now, I know Republicans are going to say, that's not true, Matt. Yes, it is. No, it's absolutely true. When in August and September and October, when you are saying, hey, we think you should wear a mask, it's just that we don't think you should be ordered to wear a mask. So if you don't want to wear a mask, that's okay. It's that simple. Either you're for wearing masks or you're not for wearing masks. You basically were against masks because there's no other way you can say it. When you go on out there and say, we don't think there should be a rule against wearing masks, you can't all of a sudden act surprised when people don't wear masks. You can, in the same sense as that, if you say, we don't think there should be a law against drinking and driving, then you can't act surprised when a whole bunch of people start driving drunk. Well, when we said the government should allow drinking and driving, we didn't mean for people to start drinking and driving. Well, what were you intending when you were campaigning against the mask mandate? You are campaigning for people to not be able to wear masks. You are campaigning for people to try to get as many other people as sick as possible. And you did this month after month after month. Crowd restrictions, social distancing. You guys screamed at the top of your voice. You were angrily pounding on your desk. Ah! How dare big government step in? Damn you, Governor Walz. You guys were doing this. This is not me. You guys. As a matter of fact, recently you were actually saying you wanted to open everything back up. That was Paul Gazelka and Kurt Dowd a mere 2 weeks before the election. That if you elect us, that you will not have to wear a mask, there does not have to be any limits on crowd sizes, there won't be any social distancing, every business will be open again, we will open up everything. And of course, they did their caveat, well, we encourage people to wear masks, we encourage people to do this. But the reality is that you are if you're not for a mask mandate, then you're not for masks. If you can't be for a little bit of the dam breaking. You are either for the dam to break or not. It's just that simple. And so here we are after the election. First time these senators have a chance to try to throw him out. They didn't even vote. All of a sudden, the same exact Republicans, and don't get me wrong, Drazkowski, Draz was out there basically screaming about this is, government regulations are the reason this is bad. I mean, seriously, Drazkowski, seriously, that guy is as dumb as a sack of bricks. I mean, he's just a dumb, stupid moron. Drazkowski is just a freaking moron. I mean, it's amazing. Does someone dress him? Because I can't think that the guy could get his pants on and his shoes on. But that's Draz. I personally think that if you were in his district, the idea that he's trying to kill you all would be enough to set you off, but apparently not. But needless to say, he was the exception this time around because all of a sudden, the same Republicans who for the last 3 months were banging on tables, screaming at the top of their lungs, masks are evil, social distancing is evil, open all the businesses. All of a sudden, when the election's over, they said nothing. And you know why they said nothing? It's because the entire time they were screaming, they knew Governor Walz was correct. They knew it. And they also knew that the House Democrats would bail them out, that they could go on out there and pound on tables and pound on desks and scream at the top of their lungs, and they could make a mockery of mask wearing. They could basically say that everything needs to be open again. They knew they could do that because they knew that the Democrats would do the right thing and stop them. And so now that the political game's over, he's given up the ghost. And basically, the acknowledgement from Paul Gazelka and the rest of the Republicans in the Senate is Governor Walz was right the entire time. And not only could we focus on the hypocrisy, the massive level of hypocrisy that the Republicans put out there, I want to make sure we point out the obvious. How many people in this state are now sick because the Republicans did not do the right thing and talk about wearing masks and demand that people wear masks and demand that businesses stay shut if they don't have to be open and demand people do not get into large groups and people social distance. How many people are sick and how many people are dead because of the Minnesota Republican Party? Because I can tell you right now, it's quite a few. Because these guys were in their districts hammering on tables talking about the evilness of masks. How dare we wear masks? What do you think that their constituents were hearing? Oh, masks are no, we don't need masks. The Republicans are telling us we don't need masks. We don't need a social, the Republicans are saying it's up to our own judgment. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to keep social distancing. I'm going to show up. They followed your lead. You told them it was okay to not wear masks. You told them it was okay to not socially distance. You told them it was okay to cough all over each other. So how many people did you sicken, Republicans? How many people did you kill? Because you killed some of them too. The Republican Party of Minnesota has killed people because the political message they had was more important than doing the right thing and looking out for the betterment and the health and the well-being of Minnesota citizens. There's no debate here. If you knew this was the right path, and by your actions today, you knew it was the right path, then why 2 weeks before the election were you screaming about you're going to open everything up and no mask mandates, we're going to get rid of all of it? And don't give me this bull crap about you guys sitting and saying, well, we've always said masks were important. You can't have it both ways. Either the masks are important, we have a mask mandate, or they're not important. And that's what you guys were saying, that masks were not needed. That was your talking point. The Republican Party of Minnesota, through their political game, has killed people. Not over the... in the last few months. In the last few months, the Republican Party of Minnesota has actually killed people because their political messaging was more important than doing the right thing and trying to save Minnesotan lives. This is. Do you want to know why I get so pissed off at Democrats who sit there and they say, my biggest concern is working with the Republicans? It's because that's what you're working with. That. The guys that have no problem killing Minnesotans and sickening thousands of Minnesotans so that they can sell their political talking points. People that, if they campaign against you, will always call you every bad name in the book. Instead, you turn your back on your own political party and talk about how I'm working with the other side. I want you guys gone. I want you guys out of the party. And from here on out, I am working my hardest that if I hear a Democrat badmouthing other Democrats far harsher than they're going after Republicans, I am going to make it my goal in life to get rid of you. And you know why? Because I've already got enough people trying to kill us on the other side of the aisle. I don't need wishy-washy Johnny-come-lately to basically try to join them in their killing spree. And if you don't like that, then you know why, who I, if you don't like that, you know who you are, and I know who you are too. I will work relentlessly to primary your butts and get you out of the office. Because no Democrat should be running in the state of Minnesota who isn't first and foremost a proud Democrat. They were killing people. They were sickening people. Not because they really thought it was a political game. Because the political messaging and the theatrics that went with it were more important than the lives and the health of Minnesotans. And you moderate Democrats jumped onto their side. The hell with all of you. Trust me, there's a lot of Republicans that don't like me. There's going to be a hell of a lot of moderate Democrats that they don't like me too by the time I get done. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'm tired of this crap. That's what you want to. That's what you want to be with. That's the person you want to go with. That's the person that you want to do. No. I'm sorry. No. I'll tell you. We'll come back. We'll do the Minnesota coronavirus update. The illness factors that I read every day to tell you how many people are sick and how many people have died in the state of Minnesota. That because these numbers are bad. These numbers are bad because the Republican Party of Minnesota intentionally tried to make as many people as sick as possible for political points. So no, I don't have any tolerance for you if you say, well, I'm trying to work with them. No. They're the Grim Reaper. And I don't have coins for the ferryman. Sorry. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. You think this fire's going away? It ain't going away. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. seriously, have you anyone seen such an absolute 180? They were livid at Governor Walz up until the election. And all of a sudden, oh, this is all fine. Which means when they were telling people you don't need to wear a mask, which they were when they said they didn't need a mask mandate. When they were telling people you didn't need a social distance, which they were doing when they said open up everything. They knew those things were dangerous. They didn't care. They were just doing it for politics. And because of their actions, because of all these Republicans screaming that it's perfectly fine to ignore the medical advice, this pandemic's far worse, more people are sick, and more people are dead. A record 7,228 new COVID-19 cases, 39 new deaths, the second highest one-day total yet, reported on Thursday in Minnesota. Health officials reported 292 new hospital admissions. A total of 48,513 tests were completed. 39 deaths reported Thursday were second only to the 56 deaths reported on Wednesday. 23 of the deaths reported Thursday were residents of long-term care or assisted living facilities. In all, 2,793 people have died of COVID-19 since March, as well as 1,921 of the total deaths were residents of long-term care facilities. But once again, 800 plus are not. Since the pandemic began, 201,795 cases of COVID. Officials with Minnesota hospitals and health systems on Thursday issued a joint statement on stopping the spread of COVID-19. Hospitals and health systems and health care providers are watching with growing concern as COVID-19 cases quickly increase in Minnesota, fueled by broad community spread in all parts of the state. Courtesy of the Republican Party of Minnesota, this is their work. They told you you didn't need to wear a mask. They told you you didn't need a social distance. They told you the businesses should be opened up. And this is the end result. And they knew it was bad, but the politics were more important. Demand for hospital care is increasing in both medical surgery and intensive care units. High levels of community transmission means that our healthcare heroes, including nurses, doctors, therapists, pharmacists, support services, housekeeping technicians, advanced practice providers, and many more, are contracting COVID-19 as they go about their daily business. But once again, Republicans don't care. They just don't care. I am more mad at the moderate Democrats because I'm here every day. I see these people. I see what the Republicans are doing. I see how they treat Democrats. I see how everything is politics for them, how they basically, they demand allegiance to their leaders and there is no leeway. And for me, I'm not a politician. I've seen their bad behavior. I see it every day. And for you as a DFLer to sit there and say, you know what, I'd rather work with them than the other side of my party. I want you gone. I want you gone. And no, I'm not going to forget this. This is not going to be something that's going away. Trust me, I am going to be a nasty burr in some people's sides. Because you know what, I am tired of moderate Democrats taking the rest of the Democratic Party for granted and thinking that basically that they somehow can continue to do this and continue to side with people who all they want to do is they play politics and they make more people sick and they kill more people and you want to side with them. It blows my mind that's your moral fiber. That's your intensity, for God's sakes. Penny is in Minneapolis. Thanks for waiting, Penny. Thank you for holding.
Matt, I agree with everything you've said on this program today. I have two facts for you that you can spread. I have a friend that works as a nurse at Veterans Hospital in Minneapolis. She is so frustrated, they are having to take in South Dakota patients when the governor of South Dakota, the Republican governor, took the money for COVID and spent it on her advertisements. Come to South Dakota. We're open all the time. Another fact.
Penny, and I can say this. I want to make sure we say this for fact. You're saying at the Minneapolis VA hospital, they have actually had to admit South Dakota patients, taking beds away from Minnesota patients because South Dakota
exactly.
is so bad. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And that governor is so vile. She was on Chris Cuomo one night last week chastising the governor of New York for just making a statement about COVID. acting like he's making up statistics or something. She made up a statistic that was totally an error. I mean, how many people
lied.
The other thing I want to tell you, I talk to people from all over the country in my job every day. There is a very vile rumor going around, and this is the rumor, that when somebody comes to the hospital, let's say they have a motorcycle accident, and they test them for COVID, and they have COVID, what the doctors are doing this are they're stating he does have COVID. They'll put it as a statistic, but they are not saying he died of COVID to get money for the hospital. They say what he died of, the motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. The Republicans are saying that the doctors in hospitals are lying about the death of someone and saying COVID to get more money for their hospital.
And Penny, I'm going to cut you off here because I'm getting towards the end. I want to respond. Now, first of all, I'm a Catholic man. I almost am at the point where we should just basically load up all the South Dakota patients that are using up our hospital beds and ship them back to South Dakota to have the governor meet us at the border and say, you can deal with this. Because we should not be here cleaning up their mess. You know, especially when they continue she continues to wipe her feces all over the wall, for God's sakes. Second of all, in regards to this lies, I mean, for goodness sakes, I brought up the beginning of the show. The Republicans are okay with Donald Trump calling the troops losers and suckers. They're okay with that. They don't respect the nurses. They don't respect the doctors. They don't respect the scientists. It's all about politics. And until people hold them accountable, they're not going to care for anybody, because that is the real Republican message. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.